You're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and in the studio we've got a guest. We've got Bren Cameron, who has got a performance happening during Melbourne Fringe, Love is the Idea. G'day, Bren, how are you?
I'm really good, Annie. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Now tell us how you got into theatre.
Yeah, look, I guess I've been researching love on and off for about 20 years now, so that shows my age, Annie. But look, I've thoroughly enjoyed researching love on and off for 20 years, and I found that even though love is quite a mainstream issue, some of the narrative or the discussion is sometimes quite narrow, and it's left to writers to present their theories on love, but sometimes that doesn't actually reach out to the community. So I thought the best thing to do would be Melbourne Fringe, whereby I can present a narrative for the community to embrace love in all of its facets and dimensions.
Okay, so, well, that's a big thing. So how did you write the script? What is it you'd done? Tell me.
Yeah, look, as I said, with researching love, I accumulated probably around 77,000 words, which are largely extracts on the theories of love. And I've structured in such a way that I'm looking at the psychology of love, the sociology of love, history and religion of love, and the philosophical aspects of love. So it can seem quite complex in one regard. However, if it's treated in a way that allows a community to understand the language, then that directly benefits the community. So I've actually structured the presentation. I begin with a bit of Plato, a little bit of ancient history, and then I do quite a lot on falling in love. And for me, falling in love, there is a lot of literature there, Annie, which is lovely. However, I don't think it's been given the credit it's actually due. And as the listeners and yourself would know, falling in love is a precursor to love. And it can take a while for the transition, if you like, from falling in love actually to being in love, or some might say true love or genuine love.
So it's the social construct of love, cultural construct of love.
Absolutely, yes, yes. That's something that author Claude Alberoni touched upon, the cultural product, if you like, of love itself. So that would be what I would say a large narrative. So that overarches in a social sense how we're educated and taught to behave and appreciate love. So with my particular work, Annie, I'm looking at mostly theories and foundations and concepts and ideas of love, because I believe that's where the foundations are. You know, that's where the goodness is. And those theories stand tall. However, when they move on to the sort of practical elements of love, that's when things can arguably get a little bit tricky sometimes. Because as being human beings, we can treat love in various ways, which is good and bad or appropriate and inappropriate. So for me, I found that the benefit for me with the theories of love was that they stand very tall. You know, they're foundations. And the authors that have written on love over many, many decades and a couple of hundred years is that they know the importance of the theories. However, still some psychologists, for example, will talk about practical behaviours that are involved in relationships, like intimacy, you know, emotional reciprocation. So for me, I take a step back. I do appreciate the practical parts, but as I said before, sometimes the theories to me are much more stronger.
So why do you think it's why does it captivate you? Why have you done this?
Yeah, I think that personally, Annie, I've been in love twice in my life, which is a beautiful experience. I fell in love with Natasha when I was 17 and she was 16. We were both working at Kmart in Boronia. And the falling in love there was absolutely superb. It took probably about 6 or 7 weeks to drift from falling in love to being in love. When I was around 22, I met my previous wife. And again, we fell in love for probably maybe a month or two and then established love. So I was always intrigued personally about how love affects the individual. And what I mean by that, Annie, is that, for example, if you're an athlete and you train 4 or 5 hours a day, running, walking, cycling, swimming, you'll find that has a physiological effect upon you quite a genuine physical outcome. You'll be fitter, you'll be stronger, you know, your muscle tone will be really good. So for me, in one regard, amongst other regards, I was curious to see how I would actually be affected by studying love in such a strong fashion. And I think it's made me a lot more softer as a person. It's made me more emotional as a person. And I didn't know that was the case, honey, before actually reaching into or indulging in love to see how it actually affected me physiologically. I mean, physically, it makes me feel quite warm and fuzzy, if you like. I mean, in a general sense. But in a kind of like a sort of borderline intellectual way, I think it actually works well with me. You know, it makes me feel confident.
So with the performance, people buy a ticket, they go along. Is it a small space?
That's a great question, Annie. Capacity is 80, and it's over 4 nights, October 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th. And as my brochure says, we've got an Auslan interpreter on Friday the 7th of October. So I've reached out to the community with those with hearing impairments, and I'm strongly encouraging them to come along, because not a lot of arts performances, as you might know, Annie, don't have Auslan access. You know, and that makes it tricky for that particular community to have access. So tickets are $18, general tickets, $10 concession. And yeah, I mean, there's 80 capacity. I think we'll probably get close.
So you'll stand in the front there and perform?
Absolutely, Annie, yeah.
Tell me about this.
It's a good space. It's called Curate Space, mm-hmm. In Causeway Lane, just off Bourke Street, the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a good layout.
That's right in the... I know where Causeway is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good professional layout there. You know, they've got a good stage, good lighting, good microphone, good music. Like, you've got backup, so pre-show music and post-show music. So when the people come in, it's more likely I'll introduce myself upon people coming through. Kicks off at 7 o'clock till about 7:40. I'll have a 3 or 4 minute break halfway through, just to allow people to kind of, you know, sort of relax or sort of take a step back. And then I'll invite questions and comments halfway through.
So basically you're dipping into some of your research.
Absolutely, Annie. Yeah, yeah. So it wouldn't be, how do I say it? Well, the best way that I've found in terms of writing a presentation on love is to use extracts, because they're important. You know, they substantiate what my personal views are. So I mix it up a little bit, you know. I mean, I just don't throw out a whole bombardment of extracts from so-called academics. I talk my own language, you know, and I embrace my own language for the community. And but that's important, because if you just write a whole piece for, you know, maybe 8,000 words and 7,000 words of academic extracts, then it's not fair for the community and myself to get up on stage and perform a show where those elements haven't been worked out in relation to what's best for the community.
So where do you fall? I mean, they talk about love being keeps the world going around. There's endless amounts of pop songs that are incredibly influential for young minds who feel that they should be maybe heterosexually normal. Nobody loves me, that sort of thing. If you're not loved, then you're not important, that sort of stuff. I mean, where do you fall in all this?
Yeah, look, I think to me the love, and I have to stress romantic love. It's a good point that you
make. Are you talking about romantic love?
Yeah, I mean, generally the piece is about a romantic love.
Yeah, well, that was important to establish.
Absolutely, Annie. And, yeah. But, I mean, I only refer to my romantic love. I mean, the most of the work that I've done is on love, which is romantic love. But as the listeners would know, and you would know, that there are a whole range of objects of love. And I've found that through my research that those in their 20s, for example, will have ideals or ideas about what love is, and they'll be seeking to have that reciprocated with someone at some stage. And it's important for gender, sex and sexuality to have a voice in this particular dialogue, because the minority groups need to be heard, you know, and they can't sit back in silence. They need to hear the literature. They need to embrace the literature. So I guess I've found that just through personal experience, but also through some literature, that once an individual reaches, say, 30 plus, some of the ideas of romantic love might drift away a little bit. But in the late teens and the mid to late 20s, some of those ideals on love are quite strong. And that's part of the... I'm probably delving in a little bit of psychological practicalities here, but that would be, how do they behave in relation to love? You know, cognitively, how do they comprehend what love is at that particular point in time? And it's very precious when you're in your late teens, because there's a sensitivity there around love. And it's important not to have other people sort of putting pressure on you on when you need to fall in love or when you need to embrace true or genuine love. So, yeah, it's a good point, Annie.
Tell me, what are you hoping your audience will get out of this?
That's a great question. I've actually written in the presentation that if they can take away maybe three or four extracts, at least three or four extracts, and there's a lot of extracts. But if they feel like if they're curious about love,
do you give them something to go away with?
I guess knowledge base. Yeah, absolutely, Annie. That's a good point.
No flyers.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean that's a lovely point, Annie, because I think that if you're curious about love, this will be the show to come to. It really would. And it's a friendly space. As I said, I've got the Auslan interpreter. The lighting's quite good. As I said, the mic's all ready to go. And if people just walk away thinking a little bit better about themselves, thinking, hey, love might actually be out there for me. Because I know Plato, with his Symposium, one of the greatest works on love, he talks about the breakup of an individual. I think it was one of the gods or something. You might have to correct me, or the listeners correct me if I'm wrong here. But in the end, both of these individuals were split in, this one person was split in half and put on one side of the world and the other side of the world. And they were asked to try and find each other, to reform and become one again. And that was Plato's theory on love, that there's someone out there that in some regard we're searching for to try and establish that union between two people.
Yeah, so Hollywood has been following the Plato theory for many years.
Absolutely, Annie.
And so look, where do people get tickets, Brent?
That's a great question. They can go to the melbournefringe.com.au website, or they can call 9660 9666. And as I said, Annie, it's a true privilege to be here today, and also it's a pleasure and a privilege to present something on love for the community.
Oh, good on you, mate. Excellent. Thanks for coming in.
Excellent. Thank you, Annie. Have a beautiful day.